Holiness of Life by St. Bonaventure, the Seraphic Doctor, translated by Lawrence Costello, Order Franciscans Minor. Neil Obstadt, F.G. Holwick, 1923, Imprimatur Johannes J. Glennon, 1923. Holiness of Life was addressed to a poor Claire of Bonaventure's acquaintance, probably Isabella, the sister of St. Louis, King of France. Following the advice and rules of life and conduct given to her in these pages, Isabella advanced in virtue and persevered. She has been raised to the altar and under the title of blessed. Her memory is venerated and her feast is kept on February 26th. A foreword by the Bishop John McIntyre, Archbishop of Birmingham. Although written primarily for women living in religion, St. Bonaventure's treatise on holiness of life will strongly appeal to every Catholic heart. Its value as a manual of spiritual reading, at once elevating, inspiriting, and practical, can hardly be overestimated. It opens an easy way to a sound and profitable self-knowledge. It wins the soul to Christian humility and to an unworldliness which is the secret of a contented and joyful heart. It teaches a method of contemplation on the Passion of our Lord, full of devout attractiveness. It reveals the secret of fruitful and heartfelt prayer. In a word, it treats of the great and permanent things in spiritual life and practice, and does this with such living fervor that it sets our hearts on fire. There are no gloomy spaces darkened by the shadow of that Calvinism that was to come, no hard lines of rigor to remind us of Jansenism. Everywhere we find the cheerful and seriousness of Catholicism, the reflection of the soul of a saint who lived in the bright and spacious days of that glorious and supremely Catholic century, the 13th. To those acquainted with the life of St. Bonaventure, his very name will be a sufficient recommendation of the treatise now translated. John Gerson, the learned and pious chancellor of the University of Paris, set the highest value on the writings of St. Bonaventure. He regarded Bonaventure as the most perfect of the university teachers. He did not know if the university had ever produced his equal. He applied to him the words of our Lord's concerning St. John the Baptist. He was a burning and shining light. Therefore, he compared him to the cherub and to the seraph, to cherub for the brightness of his intellect, to seraph for the burning fire of his heart. He had not found any teaching more elevating and salutary than his. He admired him for keeping clear of curious and useless questions, and for being solid, safe, and devout in all he said. To the testimony of one who knew St. Bonaventure in his writings, it will be interesting to add the testimony of one who knew him also in life. This was Peter of Tarentaise. He was a Dominican and had been professor in the University of Paris, where he won the title of Doctor Famosissimus. He became successfully Archbishop of Lyons, Cardinal Bishop of Ostia, and Supreme Pontiff. He is beatified and known as Blessed Innocent V. While yet Cardinal Bishop of Ostia, he had taken together with St. Bonaventure a prominent part in the Council of Lyons. St. Bonaventure died before the Council had concluded, and when the Pope and Council attended the funeral service in the Franciscan Church in Lyons, Peter of Tarentaise preached the funeral sermon. His feeling towards Bonaventure is shown in his choice of text, for he chose those tender and touching words with which David had lamented the death of his friend Jonathan. All who listened to his discourse would have approved of the description of Bonaventure as one who was always gentle, affable, humble, pleasing to all, so that all who knew him held him in high esteem and had great affection for him. St. Bonaventure's writings reflect his character. Like the saint, himself in life, they have a magnetic power which draws the heart to a desire of higher things. They conquer, not by force of eloquent language, but by the persuasive attractiveness of a calm and beautiful spirit. The transparent humility of a great soul puts to shame all the vanity of our littleness. His thoughts glow frequently with mystic splendor, which warms and inspires. The Treatise on Holiness of Life is written in an easy and familiar style. It is like a friendly talk. The mysticism is subdued, and there is not wanting, as in the section on silence, an element of keen observation and humorous sarcasm. As we read the wise, friendly, and fervent words, we rejoice in an experience like that of the two disciples. Was not our heart burning within us while he spoke in the way and opened to us the scriptures? We owe the translator and the editor a great debt for giving us in English this beautiful treatise. We wish it a wide circulation. No one will regret having been in the company of a saint who, in life, was gentle, affable, and pleasing to all.